I flew all the way to Kentucky to preach in a conference. And when I go to this conference, which is, it was a prophetic conference. And when I go to this prophetic conference, I don't think they were expecting what I brought. I've received several messages since I've gotten back of how it touched them, how it blessed them. I had people come to me after the service and sow into me financially, sealing vows with them that they were making. One girl said that the last time that I was there that she had made a vow. I didn't know about the vow. Didn't know about the vow till she brought me the check that she had made a vow. And she put at the bottom, paid in full, on the vow. You know, sometimes you never did see the people in the Word go to the man of God without normally taking an offering. And not that you have to do that, not that you have to pay for blessing. That's not what I'm talking about. But there are people that that understand that, you know, you put your money where your mouth and your heart is, and they seal everything with a vow. I do that. If I've got something that I'm really believing God for, you know, I'll sow, and I'll seek direction of where to sow, and I don't make a vow, I just sow. Because I learned a long time ago, don't make a vow and not get the vow taken care of. Bible says don't make a vow hastily. And, you know, and I've had some people say, well, what happens if I make a vow? And I'm talking financially. And they'll say, well, I vowed to give it to this person, but I found out that this person wasn't who I thought they were. And now I don't want to pay the vow. Well, you know what? You shouldn't have made the vow towards that person. So if you made a vow towards that person, it doesn't matter what you've then found out. You've made a vow. You've sealed that between you and God, and you need to take care of it. And quickly, don't let it ride. But when I'm believing God for something, I do that. And many times it's with my pastor. I'll say, Pastor, I write it on the check of what I'm believing God for, and I ask him to believe with me. And that's what this particular girl was doing when she brought her vow. And she actually signed it from rags to riches and then her name, and which I thought was pretty awesome. So, you know, she's gotten a hold of the doctrine that God wants to bless and prosper his people, wants to move them along. But I got in there and I talked about a little bit about what I felt like the Lord had for us in the new year, and I got on the subject of the fact that our love walk is going to have to be, in other words, if that walk isn't right, things aren't going to work like they're supposed to work, and the Lord just will not let me get off of that subject. And I want to talk to you about that tonight. You know, the Bible says that we're to love one another, okay? But we all have people that we know that, man, they're pretty hard to love. You know? I were one of them to other people. I may still be. I don't know. At least I'm happy about it. Hallelujah. I'm happy. I'm not happy. I'm not happy that they don't love me. I'm just happy and I'm oblivious that they don't love me. But I don't want to be that way. I want to know if I've done something. You loving me? Okay, making sure. I was checking out the look. I was confused. but anyhow, it is so important, this love walk that God has ordained for us. And I don't think that Christian people... Now, love is action. Love is action. We do it. And we do what we know we're supposed to do, motivated by love. But when I talk about the love walk, I'm talking specifically about not holding grudges. not being in offense. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we can just dislike people for no reason. It's just a personality thing. They don't like you any better than you don't like them. I was reading a book one time and it talked about irregular people. And irregular people are those that, just like when they open their mouth and they say stuff, you're just sitting there thinking, man. Or you might just look at them. And they're irregular people. But here's what the guy that wrote the book said. He said, if you want to know how to get along with those people that we consider to be irregular, or maybe a better term would be frictional, there's just friction there, is to realize that you're an irregular person to somebody else. That somebody else, that you are rubbing somebody the wrong way, just like those other people are rubbing you the wrong way. And we're like, well, you know, I've been in church for so long that I was in churches where they would tell you to do stuff, and they'd tell you what the Bible said, this is what you're supposed to do, and you just did it because that's what you were supposed to do, but they didn't tell you how to do it. It's really hard when you're told to do something and you know it's right and you know it's what you're supposed to do, but you don't necessarily know how to go carry it out. You know, that's like me when I was a kid. I was laying sod for a friend, and this guy that I played ball with all through school and all that, he drowned when we were like 13 or 14 years old. But his dad owned a sod company. So in the summer, I worked for his dad doing sod. Well, I'd always wanted to drive a bulldozer. Didn't know how to drive a bulldozer, but always wanted to know. So one day I went to lay sod. I was 12 or 13. And we always went and got lunch, but I took my lunch that day on purpose. I'd planned it. And when they took off to lunch, I was going to learn how to drive that bulldozer. So I got up on there and I pulled some buttons and pushed in some pedals and all that. I got that thing fired up. I let her out of gear. I couldn't stop it. I didn't know how to stop it. So what I was doing was the house that we had just laid all the sod, I was doing circles around the house because I didn't have nowhere to go. And I ruined the whole yard of sod. And Mr. Locker had to jump on the thing with me and cut the thing off. He goes, what in the are you doing? And I go, I always wanted to drive his bulldozer. He goes, well, I think you'll understand that I've got to let you go. Now, I wanted to drive it, but I didn't know how, right? And there's lots of things. And look at what a mess that got me in, right? Well, it's the same way. People will tell us stuff that this is what we're supposed to do, but we don't understand how it affects us if we don't do it. We don't understand how to do it. And I think it's important. God's word's plain on all the anything that you know that the word of God tells you to do, there's a reason. I think some people think that there's stuff written in the Bible so that people won't have any fun whatsoever. They really think, well, I don't want to be a Christian because I can't go out and get drunk till I puke anymore. And, Matt, boy, that's terrible, ain't it? That I might actually remember where I went the night before, you know? I mean, I've been there and done all that, bought those T-shirts, and now I look at it and think it's funny. Remember when I first got saved, and because I'd quit drinking and quit doing drugs and all that stuff, I was sitting there having a pity party one day going, you know, Lord, I've given up everything to serve you, and look at these tough things going on in my life. And I look back and I go, and I was giving up what? You know, puking and messing up relationships and, you know, being a con man. Yeah, I left a lot hanging out there, didn't I? You know, it's just the things that we think about sometimes that we don't put it in perspective to exactly what it is that God's done in our life. Everything that he's put in the word is for our good. God just wants to do us good. The things that he puts in the word, he puts them in there for our good. So I'm going to tell you, and I don't think people understand this at all, I guarantee you that 99% of the people that I have done counseling with, marriage counseling, has been, normally it got started because they were drinking. People go, well, am I going to go to hell for drinking? Well, the Bible don't explicitly say that you're going to go to hell for drinking. I don't think you're going to go to hell for smoking. I don't think you, but I tell you what, you can think whatever you want to. When you get a little buzz going, I'm just going to have a couple. I don't get drunk. I never did find that line. If there was beer left, I was drinking it. If there was whiskey in the bottle, I was going to suck the bottom out of it. Couldn't wait to get to the worm in the tequila. I mean, and by the time you get there, it's too late. It ain't like you're being a social drinker tonight. You've been pretty antisocial. I never could find that line, but I do know this. I know that even if you don't go to those extremes, when you get a little buzz going and you feel good, you get a little loose with your tongue, you'll make decisions and do stuff that you never would do if you weren't drinking. And I go in to these places counseling, and they've been to a friend's house, and they didn't have much to drink, but they just had a little because they all did. And she was flirting, he gonna pay her back, and then, you know, man, just a bunch of mess. Keep your head right and keep your life right and, you know, do all the right things. And it happens. That happens. Most of the marriage counseling I've done, and they came to counseling, not because most of them, when they come to counseling, already had a boyfriend or girlfriend when they came. They'd already made up their mind they was leaving. The only reason they came to counseling was to say, I tried everything, even counseling. But they, you know, left there and went to go see the girlfriend or the boyfriend or whatever. They'd already made up their mind. You know, hey, it's a little late in the relationship at that point. You know, I tell people, hey, maybe that relationship ain't going to work, but finish one. And then get started in the other one. Don't mess it all up by got two or three things going at the same time. You know, do it the right way. But the Bible says that we're to love one another just as in God, Christ Jesus, loves us and has forgiven us and all that. Hey, God is love. We're told that we're supposed to love as God loves. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. All throughout the scripture, there's a bunch of one another scriptures, and one of them is that we're to love one another. But sometimes that's easier said than done. I've thought of a new thing I can say about, you know, the person that I love and miss. I was thinking that now I could, every time I heard that name, I could go, oh, bless their darling heart. And then that way I'm still blessing them, but, you know, I'm not bringing that other stuff on me. I think a lot, you know, about how to stay in the word and stay in line. And God might be bringing restoration. Okay, Lord, I repent. There, you and I receive the love of God, and then we're responsible to perfect that love walk in our lives and to perfect that love that's on the inside. God's already put that there. Some people don't get that. You can say, well, I don't know how to love that person. Well, you love them with the love that God put in you. And it takes work. You know, it's something that you have to work at. I read a book one time, How to Win Friends and Influence People. And then I'm like, man, I don't like this book. I was wanting to know how to go out and kick all them other salespeople's behinds and get a bunch of business. I didn't want to read that if I was a more likable person, more people would like me. That wasn't what I signed up for. I was looking for the secret. Well, the secret is that if you're a more likable person, more people will like you. But that's something you got to work on. You're not just born with it. We're born into sin. But when we receive God and we're born again, then He fills us with the love of God. The Bible says with the full measure. There's no, we're not lacking any love when He comes into our heart. What we're lacking is an understanding of how to put it to work is what we're lacking. And we're responsible to get in the Word and find out what the Word says on how to make it work, how to perfect our love walk. The Bible says, if you don't think that everything in the Bible and everything in the kingdom of God hinges on the fact that we operate in love, okay, I just told you, this is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. If you want to know why a lot of people don't have joy, it's because they got too much mess going on in their life. They got too many strained relationships. And, you know, we get in people's business that ain't none of our business. We'll go, look at that. Look over there. Look at their hair. Look at those clothes they're wearing. Look, it ain't none of your business. And why'd you even have to say anything? Just sometimes we just need to shut up. Well, I mean, there's nothing productive by what saying anything about that, right? And then we go meddling in other people's business. If Courtney and Brad ask me a question, I'll give them my honest opinion. But if they don't ask me, I ain't going to tell them. I didn't listen to nobody when they were telling me. I don't expect that they're going to listen to me either. But maybe if they ask, they're interested enough, and I'll tell them. When I go out golfing and people are like whacking it all over the place, they'll go, what am I doing? And I go, you might just take a step back. I think you're a little too close to the ball. And they go, wow, that's all that was? Or with Dylan holds the club like that, and he leaves his hand kind of open, and he hits everything right. And I go, Dylan, if you'll take that thumb and bring it over, it brings your wrist through. And he goes, it just feels weird. But when he does it, he hits it straight as an arrow. Okay? But I don't care if they knock every tree on the course down. If they don't ask me, I'm not going to tell them because they don't want to know. And then they think you're meddling. Right? It's the same thing in our walk. We get involved, even in our own families. Now, I know our family is our realm of judgment, but, you know, Courtney's just got married. Well, you know, whatever Courtney and Brad do is whatever Courtney and Brad does, because now that's their... She's my daughter, he's my son-in-law, and they always will be that. But, you know, it's not my job to go tell them what to do. Now they got their own life and their own family, and they got to do what they feel like they got to do. If they ask me, I'll tell them. If they're doing something really stupid, I might not be able to help it, and I might have to give them a little direction. But so far, I ain't had none of that. I can just pretty much stay out of it, mind my own business, and move on. And I may make a comment to Kim going, yeah, well, hey, we've been there. We've been there. We know, you know. Told you the fact me and Kim, when I was going to college, we hid when them people was knocking on the door to repossess our couch. And I go, don't say nothing. Let's sit on these couches one more night before we give them up. Now, listen, when you get your rented couch repossessed, things are tight. So we've been there. Hey, when you move to the college town and you're married and you got a four-week-old baby and your transportation is a 10-speed bicycle to work, to church, and to school, and to go grocery shopping on a 10-speed. And now that shows you how old I am. I say 10-speeds, and what are they now, like 21-speeds or something? But So I get this 10-speed, and I put onions over this handlebar and diapers over that handlebar and put all the canned goods in a backpack. And then my mom and my wife both, when you go to the grocery store and buy bread, they will grab the loaf of bread out of the lady's hands because you're not going to squish my bread. You will not squish my bread. And they hold it like it's a baby. Like, you know, who can eat squeezed bread? So here I am. You know, got one hand on a steering wheel and one hand holding my bread so I don't squish it, balancing it on that little bar. Got the hand, and I'm getting up the hill. Hey, I've been there. I know what it's like. And just like we learn, they'll learn. You know, Casey and Alex have gone through some learning things. They moved in. Alex was a bachelor and had his own home, and Casey moves in, and you know, it's always been his home, right? And because it's always been his home, and then of course the meddling mother-in-law wanted to come over and make it homey. But when Casey moved into his house when they got married, he flies airplanes. Remote control, but he's got an airplane that we would have to take apart to get in this room. But he's got, what, maybe 20 or 25 big airplanes. Some of them he has to take the wings off to get them in the truck. And every bedroom was full of planes. Plus, he's a woodworker, and he's got all these tools and all that stuff. And then Kim goes, well, we have to have a room for the baby. So they go, can we move your planes? He goes, hey, there's all kinds of adjustments, you know, when you come together. But you know, we have this responsibility of a love wall. I always thought it was awesome that God would do that. Anyhow, you take a man and a woman, and they don't really think alike whatsoever, but they just have to have each other. And then they get each other, and now they're together, and what do you do? Because I could always do whatever I wanted to do. She could always do whatever she wanted to do. Now these two people that really don't think anything alike are sitting in the same room going, now be happy. You know, that's kind of crazy, ain't it? I think that God should have let us have kids when we were older. We're a lot better at kids when we're older than when we were younger. But, you know, old people can't do the kid thing, right? And then maybe the Lord thought, well, hey, if they let them have kids when they're old, they'll be wore out. And so we better give them to young people. But, you know, you do get more patience as you get older, and you have less stress because there's not as much finance. Most of the stress came from the finances because you had kids. Isn't that kind of crazy how it all works like that? But we all have to shuffle relationships, relationships at work, relationships at home. And God tells us that we're to operate and to walk in love. And sometimes, Malika, it's really tough, isn't it? And I say that because she's been talking to me in particular about an issue. But, you know, we all have those where we just have people that it's like they're just, you know, like purposely trying to be frictional with you. So I put a post on Facebook, a scripture. This lady comes back and puts a scripture on there and signs it God. Like, my scripture overrides your scripture by the authority of God. But the scripture that I'd put on there pretty much said, you will find whatever it is that you're looking for. In other words, if you're looking for a reason not to like somebody, you'll find it just being around them, right? And all my response was to this lady was, see, that's exactly what I'm talking about. You found exactly what you were looking for. In other words, she could have taken that any way she wanted to. I know how I meant it, and it was exactly like she took it. So I don't hear anything else about that. I don't get any response. Well, I put another thing on there, and when I put that on there, she puts a scripture on there that says, and it was a girl that worked for me, and I'd wrote something just in response to something. She had misspelled a word, and it was a bad misspelling. And I was teasing her about that because she's an Auburndale girl. You know, she went to Auburndale, and she struggles with her spelling a little bit. So I was ribbing her about that, and this lady comes on, and she puts this scripture. How would you like to try to get the speck of sawdust out of your brother's eye when you got a telephone pole in your own eye? In other words, she was saying that I shouldn't be judging the other person when I got these problems myself. So finally, I messaged her privately instead of addressing it publicly, which I might should have, because if people mess with you publicly, many times you deal with it publicly, but I didn't. I went private, and I go, have I done something to offend you? Because it sure does seem like you're trying to straighten me out. And her response was, yes. That's it. That's all I got. And I wrote back, and I go, sorry to bother you. And then I hit the defriend button, and then I don't have to worry about people judging my scripture anymore. I didn't defriend her. I hit her or whatever. No, I removed her, didn't I? Yeah, I removed her. I don't look for a commentary on my scripture. You know, like I give a scripture, and I don't like that scripture. Well, it's a scripture, and there you go. But you know, I don't know what it was I supposedly did, but I'm sitting there thinking, now see, what happens is anytime we have, maybe it's not y'all, maybe it's just me, but anytime I have a reaction like that from somebody, I'm thinking, they're weird. Right? But she's probably at home going, that guy is weird. Right? You know? And we think people are weird or strange because they're not like us, right? But you know what? Even though we have those kind of reactions and we have those kinds of responses, we still have to love people. And we have to love them in spite. And sometimes it's really difficult when you're sitting there and you can't make people love you back, right? So I've got to have love. So I loaned a guy $600. And the first $400, I'd gone a couple years and not even said anything to him about it. I was just going to consider it seed sown. But then he comes up the day before Christmas and tells me, a couple years back, tells me that his boss is out of town, his wife is out of work, and he wasn't able to get his kid a Christmas gift, and could he borrow $200 to get his wife and his kid a gift? And he goes, and by the way, I ain't never forgot about that $400. And he said, and I'm gonna give you the $200 Friday when my boss gets back. So then I got mad, and I emailed him and I said, man, I go, are you going to pay me or what? Well, my wife ain't where I go. She wasn't working when you borrowed it, you know? And I go, and I look on your Facebook and you're taking fishing trips and you're, doing travel ball and you spent vacation on a cruise. And I go, and I'm sitting over here, without my cash. You know, I guess he figures my $600 is more important to him than it is to me, right? Well, I'm praying Christmas Eve this year, Because I was going to go down to small claims and just nail him just because. And I'm out praying, and the Lord goes, when you get back, I want you to contact him, and I want you to tell him that you're relieving him of that debt. I go, okay, Lord. And I went back, and I said, Happy New Year. Just wanted to let you know that I'm relieving you of that debt. And instead of just leaving it there, I wrote, and I'm just going to be moving on. Because I still am irritated that the Lord made me do that. To be quite honest with you. Hey, had I left it with, I'm relieving you of the debt, period. But I had to put that, and I'm just going to be moving on. So what do you think the response was? Well, what do you mean by that? And then I had to go pray the next morning. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't handle that right. I go, I'm just going to go back and put nothing. I just meant that I'm going to be moving on and forgetting it. And just moving on. Wasn't what I meant originally, but by the time I prayed, the Lord turned it into that for me. And I meant it when I said it that time. It's a process. It is a process. And you know what? The Lord will have you do things sometimes to get your heart right. And I've had people that have come against me really hard. And the Lord's told me to give them money and to sow into their ministry. And I'm like, Lord, no, that's what I want you to do. Sometimes I've had something pop up. What do you want me to do, kill them? No, Lord, I don't want you to kill them. But we got to love. We got to love people, and we got to have a right heart about it, and it's a love walk, and I'm telling you the stories about my own heart, because I can say them, and y'all can laugh, but y'all have all had the same stuff, right? And then you say, and God's going to tell me to love them? Are you kidding me? You know? But he does tell us to love them. And I'm going to tell you that, just telling you those situations, that takes work. That takes knowing who I am. That takes knowing who I belong to. That takes my spending time with God and Him pretty much going, oh, yes, that's what you're going to do. Because that's the right thing. You're going to do the right thing. Because it's the right thing to do. That's what you're going to do. And the right thing to do is for us to love. That's what the right thing is. And so we can try to get away from it. And you know what? If we're not walking in love, nobody wants to hear what we say. Perfect love casteth out what? All fear. There's some people, they're afraid of the dark. There's some people that they're afraid of tomorrow. They're afraid of, how am I going to pay my bills? They're afraid of, how's this person going to take it when they find out that I messed up? They're afraid of all of this stuff. Well, the Bible says that if we have fear, our love hasn't been perfected. You know, I've had mothers go, well, it's a mother's prerogative to worry. Well, that's fear. And God said no. That we shouldn't have that in our life. Don't be making stuff up. That don't line up with the Bible. We're not supposed to operate in the opposite of faith is fear, worry, and doubt. And we're not supposed to operate in that. We're not supposed to consider that. Which goes to tell you, if we've got that going on, something's wrong with the love walk. That's our gauge. If we got that going on. So I'm telling you, this... It's so tough that sometimes it's funny and almost ironic that God would say, even with all that going on, it doesn't matter. I loved you when you were crazy and out there doing all that stuff. When you weren't a very lovable person, I came to you and I loved you. And if I can do that, then the least you can do is give that person that same courtesy. Isn't that what he says in the Word? If you don't think love affects every area of our life in the love walk, the Bible says, so I want to have faith for great things. I want to see God move. I want to see, when I pray for people, I want to see them healed. I want to see miracles happen. I want to see people's lives touch and change. I want to see them saved and filled with the Spirit and on fire and serving God. Well, that's faith, man. But faith worketh by love. That's what the Bible says. So, you know, you can go out there and try to be Mr. Faith Man, Miss Faith Woman, and, you know, talk all this great stuff and spout scriptures and be all like that. But if the motivation isn't love and you're not walking in love, then nothing's going to happen. That's what the Bible says. And not only that, sometimes there's bickering and fighting in the church. Not this church, but some churches there are bickering and fighting. And there's some people in the church, because I've been to the churches, where they talk about everybody in the church and wonder why their kids don't want to go to church. Well, their kids don't want to go to church because all the negative stuff you said about the pastor. And they grow up not respecting the things of God because they sat there and heard mom and dad rip the pastor. Well, you know what? You don't do that. You don't rip the pastor. There's more than the love walk involved in that, but I mean, it happens all the time. And then people out there in the world will hear the church people doing that among themselves, and they go, well, look, I got people out here. It's nicer to me than people in there. Why would I want that? Can't blame them. I'm telling you, I've met them in the bar that knew more Bible than a lot of people. And I've met people in the bars that's been a lot nicer to me than some church people. Some church people just had to give me a piece of their mind. And when we got done, at least one person felt better, and it wasn't me. Right? Hey, you know, I know I say that stuff, and it really shouldn't be, but it is that way. It really is that way. But everything in our Christian walk is based and operates by love. It's the basis for everything. The love of God has preeminence over every other subject in the Word. It tops them all. And love encompasses everything that's taught in the Word and adds balance to whatever you learn from the Word. Love adds the balance to it. Think about how love's involved in your worship of God. We've been talking about praise and worship and thanksgiving. You know, when we're praising and worshiping and giving thanks to God, we're really showing Him how much we love Him for what it is that He's done for us. So when we're sitting there going, this is my commandment, to love one another, that your joy may be full. How much longer is he going to go? Well, praise God. There's been a lot of research done from independent people that have studied and found that there are a lot of churches. There's people that they go and visit a church and they won't go back there because they didn't feel loved when they came. And they feel like that there's a lot of pastors that don't have love and they don't have character. And that's a problem. A lot of people turn a deaf ear to the Word of God and to the teaching of the Word because they think that they already know all there is to know on the subject. And they probably hadn't talked to their brother in 50 years over $20. Have you ever thought about that money that people owed you was just seed sown? Do like my dad did. My dad, after I got saved and all that stuff, and one time Kim and I were doing a little better financially, and we took Mom and Dad out to eat, and I go, I'm going to pay for this. And my mom goes, no, they're not. We're not going to let them pay. And my dad said, shut up, Jackie, let them pay. He said, and then in the discussion at the table, he goes, and Lord knows I got a top dresser full of those checks that I was going to hold till they were good enough to cash. I ain't ever been able to cash none of them. But you know what? He relieved me of that debt. He did. He was trying to teach me some stuff and was patient with me. And that's something if you knew my dad. Nothing in your life, finances, family, healing, none of that will work to its full potential unless that you're walking and operating in love and you're perfecting the love walk. Walking in love delivers you from fear. By the way, fear is designed to kill you, in case you don't know. God's given us life until we're satisfied. The enemy tries to take us out before our time. Fear gives Satan access to your life and will connect you, and actually that will connect you with fear the most. And whether you know it or not, loving others is not an option. Look at John 15. John 15, and go to verse 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. In other words, it's a commandment that we love. We're commanded to love. And we're commanded to love because what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So he loved us to the point that he gave his life for us. It's not an option. We have to do it. God's told us that we're to do it. And we need to work towards increasing our love for all people. Towards all people. And regardless of who they are. And, you know, I've always been amazed at people that are prejudiced. My stomach's talking to me. But did you hear that? I thought maybe it came through the mic. it amazes me because you know what I think that is? I think when people are like that, they just don't understand how other people are. And I think people fear what they don't understand. And, you know, if God's a spirit, and he is, spirit is no color. Right? Spirit's no color. And so I've lived all over the world. And I've met Japanese people. And you know what? There's nice, sweet, beautiful Japanese people. And then there's some sorry ones. And there's nice white folk, and then there's sorry ones. And there's nice, sweet black folk, and there's sorry ones. And then there's nice, sweet Hispanic people, and then there's people's people. And you know, none of us could help what tent what color of tent we were born into. That's we get what we get, right? And so, to me, it's ignorance. It's ignorance of what people don't understand because they don't know about it. You know? And it amazes me the friction that can go on between people over that. And I'm going to tell you, it caused a lot of issues. You know, I was flying yesterday, and I got in Cincinnati, and there was these Middle Easterners in there that had them big old long beards, you know, like Osama. And I was in the McDonald's line, but I was keeping my eye on them over there. I was checking their shoes and see if they was carrying stuff, and I was profiling. I was, because all the stuff that you know, we hear and all that kind of stuff. But they're just college kids talking to each other. They're from Canada. And I sat, hey, I was profiling them to the point that I went over there and ate my Egg McMuffin right beside them. I wanted to hear what they was talking about. Because if they're going, meet at this place at 12:45, I was going to call somebody. But they were just talking about everyday normal kid stuff. It's easy to get caught up in it, isn't it? I mean, you know, we've been hearing all that stuff. But you know what? They're people. And, you know, if we understood that Jesus laid down his life for them as much as he did for me, and that he loves them as much as he loves me, and that he loves everybody just as much as he loves me, but he don't love any of them any more than he loves me. And if you understand that type of love, that agape, unconditional love, then we've got to love those people too. Right? And yes, we need to use our wisdom and all that. God's given us wisdom. He's given us our spirit so that, you know, that we know what we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to be doing. But, you know, we just need to love people. That's what God wants us to do. It's not an option. We're commanded to do it, and we need to increase our love for all those people. And you know, if Osama bin Laden got saved, he'd go to heaven. But, you know, he thinks what he's doing for God. Hitler said that he was doing what he did because Christ told him to. People get out there, right? But we're to love people. We're to love everybody. We're to love each other, even those that have done, and we're to love them with a pure heart, not just give it lip service. How many times have we given it lip service, and we might be saying one thing and being nice with our mouth, but that ain't really what's in our heart? You need to work for it to be genuine when you're saying it. Kind of like, have you ever said you were sorry when you didn't think you was wrong? Nobody does. I got a guy working for me. He goes out and makes a delivery. Well, he's on call. The phone rings, and it's a nurse that's upset about a mistake that has been made. Somebody went to an 83-year-old lady, dropped off a piece of equipment, and did not teach her how to use it. Okay? Now, the lady who's calling has no idea who delivered the equipment. Right? She just has a complaint that she was told from the patient that the person who came out from this company didn't teach her how to use it. Okay? So my guy who answers the phone, first of all, he had already called me to cover his tracks, to tell me it was all the nurse. All right. But then I find out the next day, I have a talk with the nurse, and I find out what's going on. And I went to my guy, and I said, let me ask you something. I said, not one time did I ever hear you ask, you know what, ma'am, I'm sorry that that happened. What can I do to make you happy and make it right? I go, never heard that one time. He said, well, that's because that didn't happen. I go, right. You straightened her out and you told her that you know that's not true, that you're the one that delivered it, and you always take time with older people because you know that they may not understand. And I said, and why did you feel, she had no idea you delivered it. Why did you feel the need to tell her? And then he blew it all because I knew what the answer was going to be. He goes, I wanted her to know. Well, what did he want her to know? That he was right. All she wants is to say, I want this fixed. That's all she wanted to do. And all he had to say was, ma'am, I am so sorry that that's happened. She didn't have to know. Not that he's being deceiving, but he just needs to know what he can do to make it right, right? And he just couldn't get over the fact that I'm telling him that he was wrong. Because he wanted so bad to be right. And I go, ain't you been married? He goes, yeah. And I go, and you're telling me you ain't ever one time apologized when you didn't feel like you'd done anything wrong? He goes, every day. And I go, then what's different here? Just, it doesn't matter. You don't have to be wrong to say, I'm sorry. Right? You don't have to be wrong to make, I've hardly ever been wrong, honey, but I still have apologized. Well, those were the two times I was admitting. Okay? But you know, sometimes somebody has to be the peacemaker. Sometimes somebody just has to get through all that mess to get the relationship right so that you can move on. You know, what's the big deal about I have to be right, you know? Or what's the big deal if you don't think you're wrong that you say, okay. I remember one time me and Kim were going at it, and I go, you know what? You're right. She goes, oh, don't you tell me I'm right just to shut me up. You just saying that so I won't bring it up no more. Well, she knows me. That was kind of right. That's what I was doing. Hey, but I was trying to get it right even though I thought I was right. But see, we justify and try to justify everything we do. But whatever it is that we do, we have to do it with a pure heart. You know, that we mean it when we do it. And sometimes that takes getting by yourself to get it right and get perspective so that you can go to somebody with a pure heart and make it right. I've gone to people before and I said, you know what? I am so sorry. I don't pretend to have done everything right in this relationship, and I'm asking you that you forgive me for anything I've done that was wrong or may have hurt you, and I'm asking you to do the same. I've had some hug my neck and say, I received that and move on. I've had some say, okay, but I could tell by the way they looked that they wasn't really receiving it. And I've had some people say some things that you can't say in church. So I've had all the reactions. But you know what? As much as I really wanted them to receive it, I can't make them. I can only do my part. And I've tried to make things right with some people that just would not receive. But see, I can't go love for them. I can only love for me. I can't go make retribution for anybody else. I can only go make retribution for me. And then I have a clear conscience and I can move on and not let my love walk be affected by the fact that other people just won't forgive and other people won't let go. And I can't stay mad at them because they didn't forgive. I have to say, well, you know what? I guess one day that they'll find it in their heart, you know, to let it go. In the meantime, I'm going to love them anyhow, and I'm going to move on. It isn't worth it. Have you noticed that time kind of heals some of that stuff too? That, you know, there's people that you really, really, really were close with, and for some reason you kind of had a falling out, but you still love the person? I had that happen a few years back. Had somebody that I was, a guy that I was very close to, spent a lot of time with them, but just stuck the old proverbial knife right in my back. But you know, as time went on and all that kind of stuff, I never stopped talking or whatever, quit hanging out, but never stopped talking, never stopped waving when I went by or whatever, would smile and talk and have casual talk. But there came a point a couple years later where I could do it and actually mean it. Because there was a part of me that really did miss that relationship. I really did love that person. And I hate what happened, but you know what? It happened. It's over with. Now we have at least a decent relationship, and I can let that other mess go and just move on. Time will do that. You know, what was just, you know, wearing on me big time last month, is, you know, I'm getting perspective this month. But we got to work at it. If you don't work at it, if you sit there and you talk anti the word and you let that thing spin in your head and you let, you know, you just sit thinking of things, you know, what they've done and how you might can get back at them, and you can't believe they did that to you. You sit there and harbor all that mess, you can't get the victory to get over. And you know what it is? Have y'all seen the commercial with the car driving down the road and the two cops watching them, and it's pulling that big old anchor behind them, and they just barely, all the cars are passing them. And it's all, that's what happens in your Christian walk when you're not operating in love, when you don't have forgiveness in your life, when you're offended at somebody for what they did. You can't operate in offense. You got to get it taken care of. Last thing is, the power that you and I operate in our Christian walk, the power that the Bible talks about, actually comes from how we handle relationships with others. It operates by love in our lives, but it's how that love is expressed to others around us as we move forward. And you know, have you ever thought that the enemy comes in and attacks relationships on purpose to hinder us from perfecting our love and doing what it is that God's called us to do? How many of y'all have ever been in a mess personally with somebody? Hey, it could be a boss, friend, family member. You know, I don't even have to ask the question. I know the answer. Everybody has. And here's what happens. We get all excited for the things of God. Man, we're just cruising along. We're moving on in this thing. We're growing. We're moving. God's doing all this stuff. But then some mess rises up over here. And we're like, man, I'm just moving on with God. But the mess just gets louder and bigger and all that. And finally, there comes a point where you got to stop just long enough to deal with the mess. But then now you're frustrated because you had to stop to deal with the mess, right? And then you get back on the path and you're headed that way, but you keep on thinking, you know, as you're moving forward, you keep looking back at the mess, like, man, what was that all about? You know what caused that? And you know what? We just don't come out of it running like we were running. So you don't think it's on purpose that the enemy attacks the relationship? And the Bible says that it's not flesh and blood. It's not really that person. It's powers and principalities that may be operating through that person or operating, you know, between those two relationships to try to get your attention off moving forward in God and therefore relieving you of the power of God that you would operate in because you had to take the time to stop and deal with that mess. And you know what? If we don't deal with it in love originally, we're going to be with the mess for a while. Because, you know, it's going to happen just like it happened with me. You're going to go out and pray, and the Lord goes, you need to take care of the mess. And I'm going to go, yes, Lord, I'm going to go do that as soon as I get back. And then I halfway take care of the mess. I'm letting him know that I'm going to take care of this mess, but I don't like it. And then I go out and pray the next day, and the Lord goes, you didn't do what I told you. I go, did, Lord. And he goes, what about the rest of that? Straighten that out, okay? I'm going to straighten that out. Now, it's taken me some time, and it's taken the fervor, which, by the way, fervor in the word means heat, the on fire that I was for God. Some of that dwindles because I took all this time dealing with that. Whereas if I'd have just took some time and got it right and dealt with that right, then the rest of it wouldn't have taken away from me like that. Amen. I'll stop there. That was point one, by the way.